This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الأولين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الآخرين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is a class actually that we offer every Tuesday online, but you know, live audience is always a pleasure. But we teach a book for, mashallah, almost 500 students online. The book is known by Al-Usul al-Thalatha, if you're familiar with the book, yeah, inshallah. And this is lecture or session number 5. The author of the book divided the book into an introduction and the main body, and simply maybe a commentary at the end about certain relevant subject to the main theme of the book. Like I mentioned, the book is called Al-Usul al-Thalatha in reference to the three questions every deceased gets asked when he is buried. Right after the burial, if you're familiar with Hadith al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhuma, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? Wama Deenuk, what is your religion? And Wama Taqulu fi al-Rajul alladhi bu'itha fik, aw fikum, what do you say about the man who was sent to you? For this is the book is about. Like we mentioned, the author started his book with three introductions, were very interesting. The first one we finished in 4 lectures, subhanAllah. And today we are to begin the second introduction. He started those three introductions with making dua for you. اعلم رحمك الله. Be aware, be informed, may Allah have mercy upon you. Here is the first intro, that it is mandatory upon every single Muslim to learn the following 4 matters. أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ تَعَلُّمُ أَرْبَعِ مَسَائِلٍ. Number 1, العلم, knowledge. العلم بالله وبنبيه وبدين الإسلام بالأدلة. That you learn who Allah is. You learn who is the messenger of Allah, his seerah, his sunnah, so that you can follow it. Of course, you learn about Allah so you can worship him properly. And you learn about Islam, the religion that only Allah will accept in the Day of Judgment. But here is the interesting piece. He said, بِالْأَدِلَّةِ, based on دليل. That knowledge cannot be heresy or cultural practices or societal norms. Or دليل, when we speak of evidence, whether it is سمعي, revelation, يعني. قال الله, قال رسول الله. So this is the first thing. 2, that knowledge must lead to action. العمل به. Knowing doesn't help if you don't act upon it. It's useless. It's a waste of time. And actually, it becomes evident against us. يعني ورد حديث أسامة بن زيد رضي الله عنه, الحديث أخرجه الإمام البخاري. Imagine this, that a man will be brought in the Day of Judgment and his intestines, الأمعاء, will come out of his rear. تندلق أقتابه من دبره. فيدور حولها كما يدور الحمار في الرحى. And he will go around it like a donkey dragging a grinder. Look at the scene, the day of judgment. The people will come to him, Ya Hada, oh so and so, didn't you use to tell us to do or not to do? We remember you were sitting and having all these audience in front of you and teaching us. I used to tell you to do it, but I never did it. And I used to tell you not to do it. في يعني جانب النواهي يعني prohibitions, and I did it. ويا إخوة يعني it's so amazing, the first three individuals who will be dragged into hell from this ummah are who? People who acted, but they lacked what? عمل القلب. They lacked the act of the heart, which is what? Which is really the initial. They acted. He recited the Quran. He was beautiful in his recitation. He taught. He actually spent his money, all of his money. I'm talking about the three individuals that will be dragged into hell. I'm assuming that you're familiar with the hadith. And the one who actually died in the battlefield. But what did he lack? Just one side of the act, which is what Amal. But he did act. But he was showing off. He wasn't doing it for. The shahid is, you must act wholeheartedly upon what you know. وذلك ابن مسعود يا إخوة له كلمة يقول إنما العلم الخشية. Knowledge is what lead you to fear Allah. If knowledge doesn't help you to fear Allah, then وشوف وصف الله أقواما بالحمير تارة وبالكلاب تارة في كتابه. Allah described the nation one time to be donkeys and one time to be dogs in the Quran because they never acted upon their knowledge. مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفار. The likeness of those who bore the Torah. Yeah, they carried the Torah. They know the Torah by heart. They know it. But they did not act upon it. They are like what? Donkeys carrying what? Books. Can a donkey benefit from a book? مستحيل. Impossible. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَثَلَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ أَسْوَرَةِ الْعَرَفِ آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَوِينَ وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إِنْ تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكْهُ. This is a verse in Surah Al-A'raf, a story of a famous scholar in the previous nations that his dua used to be answered. But subhanAllah, he abandoned the religion and he started acting wickedly. Allah is describing him to be what? Like a dog. Whether the dog is in the heat or under the shade, he always sticks his tongue out and he's in a state of rush, 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 rush. فالعمل. العمل. ومقولة عجيبة يا إخوة, one of the most fascinating statements that I came across. When you learn something, action is being called. If you do not act upon what you learned, knowledge will leave. But then one of the most beneficial things that you teach what you learned. And you, it is really a good investment. Your knowledge increases. Especially, you know, if you strive to maintain a standard that you know, you check your resources, you check the hadith that you're going to quote, you make sure that the messenger said it, and you check the verse, the meaning, that you know, you have the proper understanding of it like the Sahaba did. And if you verify what you're going to teach, الموضوع برضو is not left. Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم giving us a severe warning that whoever says I said something and I did not say it, that's a big dangerous thing that a person may come across. Again, we're summarizing the previous intro. We said there are three intros. We're supposed to embark on the second one today, but very quickly we said knowledge. What was number one? Act upon it. Three, calling to it. وَالدَّعْوَةُ إِلَيْهِ. You must call people to it. Yeah, إخوة, and I know I repeated this, and I know the brothers who are online are tired of me. Maybe you're going to, I'm really saying it because it's the first time you're going to hear it from somebody. Look at the revolutions that came across history. And I'm talking about revolutions, people's revolutions. One of the means to protect your revolution is to export your revolution. You must export your ideology to your neighbors. Otherwise, they're going to threaten you. They're going to try to bring their ideology upon you. Likewise, look at this, ikhwa. Islam is like this. Islam teaches us the way to protect your deen that you give da'wah. And when you give da'wah, you revive your deen, your own self. Yes. Because when you give da'wah, you have that confidence. Man, I believe in that stuff, man. I'm willing to take off my work. I'm willing to sacrifice that time, that effort, and sometimes money, and sometimes a good paying job to do this. It's an evident that you're there, at da'wah. But again, ya ikhwa, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. The Rasulullah is saying, this is my path, the path of da'wah. I'm calling to Allah based on knowledge. عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. أَنَا, me, وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, and those who follow me. For you to give da'wah, you must have what? Knowledge. But it doesn't have to be, you have to be a scholar. I think there is a big mistake out there. No, you don't have to be a scholar. But at least you must be well-versed in the subject that you're teaching. That you have studied it well. Look at the understanding of al-Bukhari, of hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They tell you that all the work of Imam al-Bukhari in the title that you see on the top of the chapters, that's the work of al-Bukhari. Look at this chapter, which he placed in one of the books, in his Mukhtasar Sahih, the book of knowledge. You know what he said? Babu, the chapter, this is the title. Al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal. This chapter is called what? Knowledge comes before speaking or acting. You must have the knowledge. Speak. Before you speak, you must have the knowledge. That's what al-Bukhari is saying. Why? Because if you speak without knowledge, what are you going to end up doing? You're going to misguide people. Before misguiding your own self. And this is a big issue. Well, you know, when you call people to something that is wrong, it's, you know, everybody who does it, you know, after you become, but look at the other rewarding one. If you call people to something that is right, imagine this, everyone who does it after you, you get a reward. Again, I go back to the act of da'wah, ikhwa. The act of da'wah is one of the means to protect Islam. What was one of the final instructions the Prophet ﷺ giving to his companions? What? بَلِّغُوا. Even if it is what? Get out. Go. Get out. Disperse. I completed the deen today. That happened actually on the day of Al-Arafah, Badar. Go. That's how you're going to protect this deen. This is how you're going to protect this deen. You're going to keep this deen alive. Da'wah. But again, ya ikhwa, to be fair and just, and we're living in the United States of America and in the West, there are two components that are missing in the work of da'wah, and I'm talking the work of da'wah in general, I understand that we have the brothers here, but that's not what is meant, but the work of da'wah in general. The first thing, and I'm talking exclusively about the da'wah in America, the first obstacle, I call it, is what? Look at this. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identified the methodology through which you give da'wah to non-Muslims. A famous hadith in Sunnah, hadith Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu to Yemen, he said, Ya Mu'ad, O Mu'ad, إنك تأتي قوما أهل كتاب. The land where you're going to are the people of the book. Christian and Jews, people of the book, Christian. ليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه لا إله إلا الله. Let be the first thing that you call them to is لا إله إلا الله. توحيد يعني. وفي لفظ. There is actually a wording of this hadith. أن يوحدوا الله. That they have توحيد. So you must talk about what? La ilaha illallah. A lot of Muslims don't speak about la ilaha illallah. They are more interested in the branches of the religion. But don't misunderstand me. Don't take me out of context. I'm not downplaying the branches of the religion. Everything in that religion is as important as... But here is Rasulullah is telling you, don't go and talk to a Christian or a Jew about adultery is haram, or usury is haram. They are not going to get it. Look at what Aisha said, the hadith of Bukhari. The first of the Quran which were revealed to us was who Allah is, Tawheed. Tawheed al-Asma' al-Sifat wal-Rububiyyah. Jannah and Hell. That's all. She actually said this. Would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have revealed the prohibition, tahrim, of alcohol? Nobody would have. She actually said that. Nobody would have listened. So you have to first build what? The foundation. The foundation. Who Allah? You're doing this for Allah. And what is the reward, Jannah? And what is the punishment if I don't do it? Hell. Yeah, you have to. Tarheeb or tarheeb. You have to mention it. There is hell too. Look, the hadith is not over yet. Rasulullah is telling me, فَإِنْهُمْ أَجَابُوكَ. If they accept Tawheed, then tell them about the Salah. Then tell them about the Zakah. So this is the first obstacle. Very few Muslims can talk about Tawheed. Very few. Yani they can really explain. Because really Tawheed is something that is to be taught when you're a child. When we grow up, it becomes what? There are some concepts out there that it's going to take you a time to grasp it. So you need a lot of patience. So this is the first obstacle. And I'm talking about the da'wah in the West, exclusively. And the da'wah to the non-Muslims, exclusively. The second obstacle is the character. You see, the Sahaba, they had a lot of impact on the people because of their character. Ya ikhwa, the largest Muslim country in the face of this earth is what country? How did Islam go there? Businessmen, Muslim businessmen. West Africa, Ghana, Senegal, traders, Muslims, but Muslims. Muslims who honor their word, they keep their promises. They don't engage in backbiting and gossiping and bad character. Because really the non-Muslim sees in us is this. He cares less whether you braid the hajj that night or not, whether you have the longest beard or not. He cares less about this. But again, don't misunderstand. Actually, one of the means to have a good character is to charge your iman. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Sabr is a character. Salah is a worship, is a ritual. So don't take my words out of context and don't misunderstand. But for you to grasp what I'm trying to say, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu used to live in a distant place called Ghifar. And he was one of the few companions, by the way, who never worshipped idols. Abu Dhar, Jundu ibn Junada radiallahu anhu, he actually used to worship Allah according to the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail. So he heard that there is a man, and I'm sorry I'm speaking like this, but I'm just trying to give you the psychology here. There is a man in Mecca who claims to be a prophet. He doesn't know. So he called a brother of his called Unais. He said, "Ya Unais, go and check this man out for me." Unais went to Mecca. He spent almost a week, 10 days, like a surveillance camera on the Prophet ﷺ, watching every single thing that he does. What is he doing? Look at this. He went back to his brother and he submitted a report made of one sentence. You know what did he say in that report? رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَأْمُرُ بِمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I saw a man who is commanding good character. That's all. Da'wah, again, when we say da'wah, the fourth mas'ala, which the author, and we spent four lectures, by the way, which are available online, but I really want to engage my brothers here, and I apologize to those who are online. I know that I'm pulling back into things that I already explained in details. The fourth one is being patient. So you know, you act, you call, and if you're going to take that path of da'wah, the path of the prophets and the messengers, it's not going to be easy. You're going to be tested right and left. Tests will come to you from all over the land. Human shayateen, jinni shayateen, you name your nafs. You know, why I'm doing this, I should be. You have to be patient. Ya bunayya, look at Luqman, what he said to his son, Ya bunayya aqimu salah, establish the salah. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ يعني دعوة أمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر is a form of دعوة وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ. Have to be patient. For this is the first مسألة or the first introduction in the book. The author said وَدَلِيلُ ذَلِكَ, and the evidence for this قول الله تعالى, what Allah said in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر. Those four are mentioned in Surah Al-Asr. والعصر, that's an oath. إن الإنسان لفي خسر. Indeed, all of the human. الإنسان here, يا إخوة, when you read the word إنسان in the Quran, it means Muslim, كافر, مؤمن, all of them. That's why always you have an exception after it. إلا. The believers come out of it. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Then what? إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Always. For all of the human are losers except those إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. آمَنُوا is العلم. إيمان يا إخوة, إن إسلام is not a mystic. Iman in Islam is something that you can study. And I'm not talking about what you should believe in. I'm talking about the reality and the nature of faith, of Iman. We can break it down for you. There are scholars who broke it down for you. What does it mean to have complete Iman, recommended Iman, bare minimum Iman, and what happens if your Iman drops before? There is a way to explain it, that you should learn what Iman is. What Iman is, what makes you a mu'min. هو في إرجاء وفي خوارج, we have sects في قدرية. There are sects who went out, and I don't know if you heard that statement or not, but take it from me out of confidence. The first subject the Muslims differed on is the definition of al-Iman. Listen, I'm not saying that we don't know what is the proper definition of Iman. There is a proper definition. There is one. But people did not agree upon it. Some said Iman is just the heart. But what about the Salah? Yeah, it's good. And some said Iman that you must be Mr. Perfect. If you commit a major sin, you go out of the fold of Islam. And some said that iman, that you know that there is a God. Iman, again, I don't want to branch out to what iman is, but I want to tell you what men, but illa alladhina amanu, that means knowledge. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that is action. وَتَوَاصَوْا, ما هو دعوة. I'm not going to sit here all the time. Sometimes brothers come and give me da'wah. And I love it. Wallahi, I love it. Sometimes I give a talk and a brother comes, Shaykh, he said that hadith was weak. You were wrong. I love it. ما هو التواصل, مش, it's not only one person who's going to do it. لا. You see me doing something wrong, you correct me. I see you doing something wrong, I correct you. That's how it should go. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Are you ready to go into the second masala? I think the others are ready. But let's do here. Let me read it for you. So this is, we said the author divided his book into three intros. That's basically three parts. The first part, he put three intros. The second part is the actual theme or subject, which is the three principles that he wanted to teach. And the third part is mainly a commentary, yani additional. But here is the second intro. اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة تعلم ثلاث مسائل والعمل بهن. He basically added three more matters that you should know. And he said it's mandatory upon every Muslim and Muslimah to learn this. The first one, al-ula, and hopefully we'll be able to cover this one tonight, inshallah. أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَنَا. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. وَرَزَقَنَا. And He provides for us. وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا. And He did not create us for no purpose. Void of purpose. No. He created us for what? For a reason. بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رُسُولًا. Rather, to affirm that purpose, He sent to us messengers. فَمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا. I'm sorry, He sent to us a messenger. فَمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever obeys the messenger will be admitted to Jannah. وَمَنْ عَصَاهُ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. And he will, whoever will disobey the messenger, he will be admitted to hell. وَالدَّلِيلُ. That's what you love about authors like this. That's authors that you can listen to. Always دليل. Always. Yeah, when you speak, come up with a dalil. Wallahi, yeah, is going to give your talk baha. People are going to love it. Listen, he's trying to make a point. Find an evidence in the Quran or in the Sunnah for it. What? Come on. And alhamdulillah, right now, yeah, subhanallah. Yani if you have some yani basics, you can do it. You can do it. But when people, when I hear Allah, when I hear the Messenger of Allah, they're tired of Kareem. Who's Kareem? Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Let them hear the message from the source. And we, you know, our one of the particulars of Islam is what? Authenticity. Qala Rasulullah with what? With confidence. Because al-Bukhari compiled the hadith. And he had a chain of narrators that I know each narrator. And I can tell you whether he's strong or weak. Give a verse. Connect the people with the Quran. Connect the people with the Sunnah. And that's what you love about the author. Right here. You know, is what always evidence. What dalil? The evidence is what Allah said in Surah Al-Muzammil. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ رَسُولًا شَاهِدًا عَلَيْكُمْ كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا. Indeed, we have sent to you Muslims a messenger to be a witness over you, like we have sent to the Pharaoh a messenger. And what did the Pharaoh do? He disobeyed the messenger, and the result of this, that he would taste the punishment. Of course, there are more. He said that there are three points that he wanted us to further learn. The first one, which we want to cover in the next 20 minutes, inshallah, is the one that I just quoted. He said, be informed, may Allah have mercy on you, that Allah created us, that Allah provides for us. Something that a lot of Muslims do not know, that when we talk about the lordship of Allah, al-rububiyyah, Allah being the creator, the sustainer, the provider, we actually still have to use the same method we use with al-uluhi. The same method we use when we talk about the worship. What method I'm talking about? It's called the nafi wal ithbat. That you negate, then you affirm. Some of you may not even know what this sheikh is talking about. What is al-uluhiyya? What is the manifestation of al-uluhiyya? La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. This is the manifestation of al-uluhiyya. Liha al-kalima. If you look at this kalima carefully, you will find this kalima is made of two pieces together. La ilaha. First, you must negate. You must, in the depth of your heart, believe that there is no deities, no objects, no human, no entity worthy. No one, nothing deserves your worship, your obedience. And then you affirm it to who? Illallah. You must do this. Al-Nawaqid. You must take away the nullifiers. You know, when you go into this interfaith and, you know, and so-called, you know, they want you to compromise. Jesus is God. I'm sorry, I can't, as a Muslim, I cannot believe that. Because you know what? This will nullify my kalima. It will affect my kalima. My kalima will be nullified. Am I in trouble? هو الكلمة لا إله. Listen, I'm not talking about the manner of conveying this. When you convey this, you have to convey it what? In a nice way, in a kind way. You know, you have to do it nicely. But at the end of the day, you must believe in the depth of your heart that your only pathway to salvation is what? Is Islam. No other religion. If you believe that there is another path out there that can save you, in the dunya and in the hereafter, I'm telling you, your commitment to your own religion will fade away gradually. Because you believe there is another way. La, I believe the only way for me to get to Jannah is this way. Is this way. This has nothing to do with me forcing you to. I'm not going to force you to follow it. La ikraha fi al-deen. It's between you and Allah. And this is not going to entitle me to wrong you if you choose not to follow my way. I'm going to be nice to you still. I'm going to be kind to you. I'm not going to harm you as long as you don't harm me. But I believe in my heart that I'm sorry, an Orthodox Christian believes that all Muslims are going to hell. They believe that. Why? Because you don't believe in the formula of salvation. What formula of the salvation? That Jesus was crucified on the cross for their sins. They believe that. And for you to be saved, You must believe that formula. It's وذاكي إخوة, they tell you what. Being tolerant or tolerance is not in beliefs. Tolerance is in interaction. To show tolerance, not in your beliefs. For me to show that I'm tolerant, I'm not going to come and say, yeah, Jesus, oh, hallelujah. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. That's not tolerance. No. Tolerance is what? That, you know, I accept that you chose to go this way, even though I have explained it to you. Because at the end of the day, I believe as a Muslim, the one who guides is who? No, not me, not you, okay? Rasulullah ﷺ could not even get his own uncle to say that kalima in the bed of death. I'm going to try, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's the attitude. Again, I want to take you to the subject here. Likewise, by the way, when you talk about the rububiyyah, the lordship of Allah, when you say, you're supposed to say what? La khaliqa illa Allah. There is no creator except who? Allah. La raziqa illa Allah. A lot of Muslims do not know this, by the way. They assume that you can also still believe that there are other creators, other sustainers. La khaliq. Again, the formula which is used for the worship, which is what? Negation. You must negate the ability of anyone who can what? Benefit, harm you. Give you life, take it away from you. Give you rizq, nourish you. You negate this from anybody. Tanfi' an al-jami'. And then you affirm it to who? Allah. But some of you may say, if the sheikh is so die hard for tawheed, and how come he used that? I myself thought about it today. Did you notice the language that he used? أن الله خلقنا ورزقنا. Allah created us and he nourished us. He did not use that negation and affirmation methodology in order to what? To leave no ground for what? For assumptions. Because if you use this language, that may end up what? Yeah, and other people can do that too. Why we have إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ. Why إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ? Why? It's supposed to be the other way. نَعْبُدُكَ. But knowing in the Arabic language that if you place the object before the verb, this is a method which they call al-hasr, caging. You cannot add. If you say iyyaka na'bud, you cannot say and. But if you say we worship you, you can what? Easily what? Add other objects. Likewise, he should have said it. La khaliqa i'lam rah. He should have said it. La khaliqa illa Allah. لا رازق إلا الله لا محيي إلا الله لا إله إلا الله. Likewise, because you're supposed to use that method, that methodology with all the tawheeds. The tawheeds, I know that there are different ways of breaking them down, whether it is tawheed ilmi khabari, the knowledge of Allah, the action, or tawheed al-rububiyya, asma wa sifat. You're supposed to use in nafi wal ithbat. You're supposed to use that formula in order what? To leave no ground whatsoever. But why do you always read in the Quran, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Always. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. On him we rely. It's supposed to be we rely on what? Likewise. In order what? So why the author? Now when you're ikhwa, let's learn this. There is a famous line that Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah said. He said, well, إِذَا أَخْطَأَ الْفَاضِلُ فَتَأَوَّلْ لَهُ. When someone who knows to be good, all what you know about the person is to be what? Straight. And then you see him one time doing something wrong. What should you do? Find an exit for him.
That's what Waqi'a said. Find an justification, find an excuse to him. If 99% of his work is tawheed, and he stresses tawheed, now he uses such a thing, find what? But there is actually a legitimate reason why the author did not use that methodology. You know why? Because no one ever, but few, denied the lordship of Allah. No one ever did. It's من المسلمات, one of the things that people submit to. Look at the mushriks at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah tells us, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُ, if you ask them, them in reference to who? Do you know to who? Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Ubay ibn Ka'b. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Those are disbelievers. If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say who? Allah. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them who created you, they will say who? Allah. يعني the author is nobody ever. The only one who denied the lordship of Allah is who? فرعون. وشوف when Allah spoke about him. وجحدوا بها واستيقنتها أنفسهم ظلما وعلوا. They belied the ayat, but in their nafs they know that this is the truth. يعني you really go against your fitra. ولذلك a human being goes, if you ended up with these veils on the top of your fitra, you go back to the origin of your fitra, to the fresh fitra, when you're excessively happy or excessively sorrow, when you face a calamity or when you face excessive joy, you go back to the fitra. Look at the players when they score their goals. Huh? Even though they some Muslims now, you have to really sit with them and share with them 1,000 evidence to let them know that Allah is above the throne. Yeah, في علو, yeah. Allah is above us. Allah في علو, Allah is above us. فطرنا على, we all know this. Allah is above us. You're like, لا لا, Allah في كل مكان. Yeah, with his knowledge. Yeah. But look at this. Look at the fitra. Fitra. ما هو excessive joy, or like the man who hadith al-tawb al-mashhur, the man who was traveling in the desert and he lost his camel. You know the hadith, right? Yeah. What did he say? Allahumma anta rabbi. That's what he meant to say. Be careful. That's what he wanted to say. Allahumma anta rabbi wa ana abduk. Of course he swapped the words, but why? What did the Prophet say? Akhta'a. He made a mistake out of what? Excessive joy. You go back to the fitra. When you hit with a calamity, read the story of Akrima ibn Abi Jahl, how he accepted Islam. What is the story of Akrima ibn Abi Jahl? Al-Athar fi al-Nasai wa Tirmidhi, Hadith Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Rasulullah actually named him among six to be executed, even if they are hanging on the curtains of Kaaba. They are holding the curtains of the Kaaba like this. When the Prophet came conquering Mecca, Fath Mecca, he named six individuals. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اقتلوهم ولو كانوا معلقين بأسطار الكعبة. Execute them. One of them was Akrima. Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh, Akrima ibn Abi Jahl, Maqis ibn Subaba, Abdullah ibn Khatal, and two women. Six of them. Akrima got the news. He ran away. He went to Jeddah. He got on a ship. Subhanallah, in the middle of the sea, the Red Sea, a storm erupts. Look at the captain of the ship now. The captain is a kafir, and everybody on that ship is a kafir. He stands up and he delivers that khutbah. He says, "A'lamu, all of you here, أَنَّهُ لَنْ يُنْجِيَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ إِلَّا الْإِخْلَاصِ. The only one who can save you is الإخلاص. الإخلاص here is لا إله إلا الله. كلمة الإخلاص يعني لا إله إلا الله. The real God. By God, by Allah, all these idols that my father was killed for, and I followed his footsteps in fighting this deen, cannot save me here. You know what? If you give me a second chance, oh Allah, I just want a second chance. And subhanAllah, Allah give it to him. And but you know, a lot of people are given second chances, but subhanAllah, very few they fulfill. Akrima was one of the people who fulfilled. He actually went back, accepted Islam. He was killed in a battle called Yarmouk. He had so many wounds. And he looked at the people around him and he said, أَتِلْكَ مِيتَةٌ تُرْضِي عَنِّي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. If the Messenger of Allah would see me like this, he would be happy with me. Here I am, I did something. I fought Islam, yes, but here I am bringing Islam to Syria. Yarmouk هذه في الشام. فالشاهد يا إخوة, inside us we know this. والقصة المشهورة عمران بن حسين had a father whose name is Husayn ibn Ubayd. So when Imran came to accept Islam, Husayn was with him. فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, يا حسين, look at دعوة, أو حسين, كم من إله تعبد, how many gods do you worship? He said, I worship 7. سبعة. ستة في الأرض, 6 in earth, وواحد في السماء, and 1 in the heaven. شوف الدعوة يا إخوة. Anybody like these days, yeah, kafir, you worship 6 idols, you're going to hell. Look at the Prophet. Look. أيهما تدعو لرغبك ورهبك. When you get in trouble, which one you call for? قال الذي في السماء. The one up there. I go to the one up there. فطرة. فرعون denied this, by the way, but he knows. لأن في دليل فطرة. There is an evidence of الفطرة against us that we all know that there is a God. We all know. ولا إخوة إخوة, regardless wallahi of how of the person stands in front of you and pretend that he doesn't believe in a God, he knows inside him there is a, in the field of da'wah, always, I like to use that. You know that Microsoft line, until inside? You ever heard that? Until inside? You know what that means, right? Islam inside everyone. There is Islam inside everyone. But what happened? Veils. Over the fitrah, veils. It's been piling up veils. You can come and uncover some of them, or maybe Allah will have him go through a calamity or through a moment of joy that he will realize. But don't give up on anybody. Don't, regardless. Wallahi, the best of the people who actually go to the extreme. And subhanAllah, when they come back to this deen, they do this, do the religion the best service. The best service. Because they want to make up like Akrima. I fought Islam and here I am dying in Al-Yarmouk, bringing Islam. Again, the point I'm trying to make here, because I always get out of the main subject here, but I go back to it. The author did not use that method which is used with the worship, which is nafi wal ithbat, negation and affirmation. Why? Because of rububiyyah, nobody denies it. But let me ask you a question. Is that how it is now? You know, we always get so excited about hearing that line, and I'm starting to believe that this line gets circulated so much in the media or around us to put us to sleep. You know what line I'm talking about? The fastest growing religion in the world is Islam. That's not true. The fastest growing religion in the world is no religion. Atheism is the denial of rububiyyah. The mushriks at the time of the messenger and the sahaba, they had more standard than the mushriks now. We have people actually who deny the lordship of Allah. But why? Years. I'll tell you a very personal thing, and I'm originally from Egypt, if you may not know. I used to live in the countryside, and I used to travel on a highway called Cairo Ismailia Desert Way. As I was traveling, I always used to watch these nice schools, you know, like Catholic schools. You know how Catholic schools are clean and neat and really nice. I mean, I'm just trying to. Man, what are these schools? These are not public schools. These are private schools. And the tuition is what? Almost 100,000 Egyptian pounds. For you to have 100,000 Egyptian pounds, I mean, you're whether really a very smart businessman or a good thief, one of the two. Can be the third. And what is being taught there? Look at the marketing or the selling point for these schools. American curriculum. Listen, we live in America and we know what the American curriculum is. Hey, you're an ape and miraculously you became a human. I mean, a lot of that stuff is, a lot of Muslims sometimes they become so boastful. And by the way, we say this not to have anything against America. We live in America, but we have an issue with their education system, what they teach. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, brothers but and sisters in Islam. The first people who introduced homeschooling in America are who? Who? Devoted Christians. People who believe. Because they knew that these schools are not gonna... There is a separation between what? A church and a state. To cut to the point, right now we have these young men around 20, 30 years old coming on television. Egyptians. Did you watch those? He comes out openly and tells you, for someone in Egypt to say this openly? No, he actually has a Facebook, the atheist in Egypt, the atheist group in Egypt. Why? Because of that. Because of this subject. Read the Quran thoroughly. You will find a lot of emphasis on the fact that Allah is the creator and no other creators with him. That's a very important, because if you compromise this one, if you somehow input into the minds of these children that there was another force out there in the face of this earth or in this universe that somehow had some power to bring about another existent elements of this universe, it's over. It's done. But when you walk on the face of this universe believing with certainty that everything around you, Allah created it and Allah is in control of it, forget it. Forget. Well, there is a lot of emphasis. The point I'm trying to make is these education systems, these educational programs which are out there, again, but this is the only reason. No, there are other reasons. Other reasons also that, you know, scholars are unable to reach out to these kids. You know, the imams in the masajid are boring. Their message is not relevant to, they are not connected with the people. They, you know, there are other reasons. Also the fanatic approach. This guy. There is also the, so there are other means that takes away that sense of religion out of their lives. They want to free themselves from it. فالشاهد يا إخوة الله سبحانه وتعالى رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم given emphasis to this, and this is the first thing that the author wanted you to learn, that Allah is the one who created you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides for you. طب in closing here tonight inshallah, when we say الخلق, because الخلق really is the premise, what is the definition of creation? What does it mean الخلق? They tell you, and these are from the books by the way, that you bring something back after it died, after it perished. That's one. الإيجاد بعد العدم. That you bring something into existence after it what? Vanished, yeah. Or you bring something into existence out of nothing without following a pattern or a template. Like, I could make a glass out of nothing, but I have what? A template. Like, you bring something into existence without what? An existing what? Template. هذا خلق. Here's the interesting piece. Number three, that you transform something from a form to a form. From wood, you make a table. I created that table. You could say, I created that table. I created it. And isn't that what Prophet Isa used when he spoke to Christians? He said, أَنِّي أَخْلُقُ لَكُم مِّنَ الطِّينِ. I can make for you out of what? Clay, a shape, and I will transfer that muddy shape into a living bird. He used it. أَنِّي أَخْلُقُ. He said, I create. But in order not to confuse you, Allah creates and we do create. The question here, what is the difference? Or the differences between what we create and what Allah created? Number one, which is, I already mentioned, Allah creates out of what? Nothing. And He uses what? Kun. The only four elements of the universe that Allah created with His own hands are Al-Qalam, Adam, the throne, Al-Arsh, and Jannah. That's the only four things Allah created with His own hands. You know them, right? The pen. The pen which was used to write the destiny, Qalamun. There is a hadith that the first thing which Allah created was the pen, and Allah commanded the pen to write. The pen said, write what? Write everything which will happen until the day of judgment. The throne, Al-Arsh, Adam. Status of Adam there. Why Satan got jealous? Because that creation happened in front of what? Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His might. He uses His own hands in a way that suits His majesty. We affirm the attribute to create us in front of Satan. And Jannah. Jannatul Na'im. Everything else is what? Kun. Tab, we create from what? Like I said a minute ago, we create from what? Existing. Even the cars. The cars are made of what mainly? From hadith, right? Where the hadith comes from? From up there, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The metal, the iron. Yeah. طيب. Here's a funny piece, yeah, just to make you laugh, for the sake of Allah. The one who made these glasses, can he make a male glass and a female glass and put them together? And inshallah in the morning you're going to have another one? Yeah. After 7 months, after 9 months, subhanAllah. But Allah is, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Really, the reproduction. Reproduction. Ya ikhwa, and this is relevant to the subject of al-qadr. خلق الله, when you use the attribute of الخلق, there are three attributes that came before it. الخلق is a final process. Allah knew about it. Allah knows everything about what He created. Not only this, He committed that knowledge into a book. He wrote it. And He willed for it to happen. So the creation was what? The last piece. The creation is an attribute that was preceded with three attributes. Al-ilm, wal-kitaba, wal-mashi'ah. And one of the debates that one of the students of knowledge had with an atheist. They said, you guys say that Allah, you know, Allah creates and this is what, why we should worship Allah alone. I can create too. He said, actually, I can create too. How? He said, I'll tell it to you tomorrow. He went home and he brought a jar like this. And he put inside it feces of animals and did meat. And he shot it really well. I said, I'm going to put it in the class for 3 days. I'm not going to touch it. After 3 days, you're going to see my creation. After 3 days, opened it up. Guess what developed? Worms. Obviously, if there is no flow of oxygen. I create these worms. One of the students stood up and said, teacher, how many are there? How many of them are females and how many of them are males? We don't. Allah knows how many before they created. And how... Let me give you this. Let me give you this. And this is a killer. This is going to kill it. By Allah, can you come up with the medicine before you even know about the disease? Can you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed the manhaj, the curriculum, the blueprint that can make you and me a better human being before He created us. Maybe some of you are not grasping what I'm trying to say. Before you go and buy a car, let's say it's Honda, what they give you with the car? A manual. In how to what? If you follow this, before Allah created me and you, He designed the manual. Sheikh Qara al-Rahman, شوف. Ar-Rahman. What? علم القرآن. Then what? خلق الإنسان. Then what? علمه البيان. الرحمن created first, or he taught the Quran first? Quran first. طب انت شوف انت let's keep with the keep up with the car industry. How many of you heard of the thing called recall? You know what recall is? You know what recall is in the car industry? a defect in what they created. After what? Tabillah alaik, have you ever heard that Allah recalled the sun because there is a defect in the sun and there is a defect in the moon? Let's recall the sun back. They should Allah is telling you. If you continue with Surah Ar-Rahman, الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ. Time is based on the sunset. وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانِ وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا. All the creation is going by the book because they follow the manhaj on which Allah created them. Now, if you're human, wanna be like the sun, wanna be like the moon, wanna be like the stars, wanna be like the heavens, wanna be like the earth in functioning, then what? أَلَّا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. Then follow the manhaj. Wake up in the morning, pray fajr. Don't slack. This is going to affect your performance. Dhuhr time, go back to the masjid to pray. You commit a sin, say astaghfirullah, tubt ila Allah. Follow the manhaj. Follow the manuscript. Follow the blueprint. If you want your life to function like these elements of the universe, which they do go by the book. Likewise, us. You know, khalaqana wa razaqana. But then, if you look at the creation of the human, and I promise, I'm going to close it. I said this three times already, but I promise this is the last time. Look at the creation of the human. Look at the creation of the human. You are made of two things put together. What? What? Body and ruh. What happened? Hadith Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, akhrajahu al-Imam Muslim. The creation of one of you is al-imperio, bismuha al-barahil al-janin. 41 sperm. 40 days sperm, then 40 days what? Alaqa, a hanging piece in the womb, and then 40, a piece of flesh. Then what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send an angel to do what? An angel. What is the name of that angel? In one of the wording of this hadith, not with Muslim, not with Muslim. Malikul arwah, malakul arwah, the angel of the souls. And he would do what? He would breathe the soul into that flesh. And he will write what? How long he will live. His provision. And what type of amal he will do. And he is happy or miserable. Shaqiyun am sa'id. Life started with what? With the blowing of the soul inside what? Tab, how life ends? For us. How? Another angel comes called what? The angel of what? Ya ayyatuha nafs, come out. Irji. Come out. Now, in between the blowing of the soul, and after, of course, you go through the childhood and all of this. And you reach the age of puberty, which is the age when we become accountable. Until the time the angel of death comes, so you're supposed to take care of those two components. The body, how do you take care of the body, Dr. Fasih? How? Huh? Olive Garden? Huh? Pizza, hot, halal, hopefully. Huh? You feed the body. What is the source? Water. And water comes from where? طيب, what about the soul? What is the nutrition for the soul? What? Islam. You call it dhikr. You call it ta'a. You call it obedience. You call it salah. Islam. Risalat. The message. And the messengers. What they brought down for us. You see what's happening? The whole world is taking care of that. Of what? I want to tell you this. the highest income in the world in a country called Sweden. Sweden, right? One of these Scandinavian countries. It's money, right? A lot of people think that the problem is money. You know the highest suicide in the face of this earth is where? Where? Sweden. That's Sweden. So the problem is not money. The problem is not the dunya. The problem is you have to strike that balance between what? The material and the ruh. You have to do that. You cannot just neglect the dunya and go. You cannot do this. You have to do that balance. فالشاهد that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created, He takes care of what He created. He brings down water to take care of the body, and He also nourishes us through the risala bi idhnillahi ta'ala. The last thing, ikhwa, in comparing the creation of Allah with the creation of the human cannot bring people back into existence. We know that everything from our body gets consumed by earth. Except what? A bone in the spine. Ajbud dhamb is called. Guess what? Allah recreate us from it, inshallah. فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, we'll continue this. جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. It's really a pleasure. It's